We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, you pie in the sky, knucklehead Dallas fans. Tyler Butler, Billy.
10 wins.
The rest of you
easily.
Clowns. No, that does not qualify. You're talking about Dallas winning the NFC Championship. All right. Let me give you a synopsis.
Going to the NFC Championship. I didn't say they will win it, but I do think this team is talented enough to at least – make it. I don't trust Jason Garrett enough to actually win that type of game.
All right, let me give you a synopsis of Dallas over the last 10 seasons. Right? I'm going to treat this like a stock.
They never had this team, Josh.
Okay. I totally disagree with you. And I'm going to prove my point.
The best team they had in ages was the team that lost to Green Bay, the Dez caught it game. But that defense was nowhere near the caliber this defense is.
When are we going to stop making excuses?
That's a fact. All right. Just look at the stats.
All right. I'm going to treat this like a stock.
All right.
All right. We're going to do a stock analysis of the Dallas Cowboys over the last 10 years to see whether it's a buy, a sell, or a hold 'em.
It's going to be depressing.
Okay. 2010, 6-10. 2011, 8-8. 2012, 8-8. 2013, 8-8. 2014, 12-4. Loss in the divisional. 2015, 4-12.
Romo was hurt.
2016, 13-3.
Dez caught it.
2017, 9-7. 2018, 10-6. Okay, when you add all of those up and average them out, Dallas is an 8-8 franchise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But if you look at the overall talent on a team, Dallas has never, except for the 90s, had a defense this caliber. We did not have a Jalen Smith or Van Der Esch on their defense. They had Byron Jones playing safety, knowing good and well he should have been a corner on those teams. Offensively, yes, we were stacked. Romo was slinging it. We had T.O. one of those seasons. We had Dez. Jason Witt was in his prime. But that defense was trash.
Did Bill Belichick have a great defense?
Is Jason Garrett Bill Belichick?
Hold on.
Hold on. Philosophies, my man.
Hold on. You're talking about the talent of the team. You and Billy are on me about the talent of the team.
Talent, correct.
Okay.
But coaching also plays a factor.
All right. Well, let me say this. No amount of talent.
And that team does have Tom Brady. Let's keep that in mind.
Okay. No amount of talent can overcome bad coaching.
Agree. We have one of the worst in the league.
Okay.
I'm not going to defend Jason Garrett by any means.
You know who I need to get on the show to defend that point?
Who?
Tommy Bowden.
Hmm.
Okay. Dallas is the Clemson Tigers of the Tommy Bowden era.
So we need to go find us a Dabo, is what you're saying.
Exactly right.
And 100% the problem, with you all
that. TB, the problem, though, is a coach of that caliber is not going to come to Dallas as long as Jerry's alive.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Those teams that you mentioned, now I will say this. I disagree with you on the analysis that this Dallas defense is as good as those 90s defenses.
No,
I mean, those guys had five Hall of Famers.
They're not like the Deion primetime Haley type defense. But since then, this has been the best core defensive talent we've had.
That's a fair assessment. Here's the problem, though. Does any Dallas fan rightfully defend this secondary?
I have major concerns about the safeties.
That's my point.
That was the only one that they didn't address in the offseason. And I don't understand that at all, but yes, they still have major concerns with the safeties.
So that leads me to the other thing. Dallas cannot make it to the NFC Championship game winning 10, 11 games. Can't do it. They're not good enough to go through the wild card. Because at some point during the playoffs, the ears between the headset have to win you a game.
Yeah. And boy, that head between the headset and Dallas.
So the only way, now I'm not saying that Dallas doesn't have the talent. 1 through 53, this roster, I mean, it's not better, but it's on par with some of the better teams in the NFC. I'll give you that.
You know what? And unfortunately, what's not working for the Cowboys is history.
I will
history
say
shows after a season they had last year, we're looking at another 8-8 year.
Exactly. I will give you this. If you gave me either Doug Peterson, Sean McVay.
Oh, 13 wins easily.
Or the guy at New Orleans. What's it? Sean?
Payton.
Payton. If you gave me one of those three guys, pencil Dallas in for the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. Without a doubt.
Pencil them in for the Super Bowl. They're going to win 13 games. See, because here's where it comes into context. It's when you need to make a call on a 3rd and 2, or if you need a defensive stop when it's 3rd and 15 at home, you get that play.
Now, who's calling the plays for Dallas? Is it going to be Kellen Moore, or is it split between him and Jason?
Well, I look at it this way. All of the plays on offense, which all the plays theoretically go through, defense and offense, go through Garrett's headset. The truth of the matter is, Garrett has veto power on offense, and he's got to approve each one of them as it gets there. But to be honest with you, does the guy even approve or veto anything? Because I never see him talking.
I see him clapping a lot. Every 2.3 seconds. That's always my main concern. I feel like the talent is good enough to get there, but I don't see them getting any further because Jason Garrett is the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I have no faith in him.
Well, you sound like Hornets fans because I think Jerry Jones and Michael Jordan are stepbrothers.
Charlotte is in a way worse situation than Dallas Cowboys.
Well,
they don't even have talent.
You know what, though? I would rather be awful talent-wise than go through this excruciating pain of having hopes because from a roster standpoint, we should be better, but when it comes down to it, we're still just an average franchise. At least the Hornets can say we've got a bad roster.
It is. Mike, this hurts my soul to criticize that man, but he's making some awful decisions as of late.
See, I'm of the opinion that he's like magic. Now, the problem that the Hornets have is he's a minority owner. What I mean by that is financially, let me clear that up. He owns 10%, is it 20%? 25%? I can't remember.
Talk about Mike or Magic?
Michael.
I thought he was the full owner of the Hornets.
Is he the full owner
now?
I don't know. We'll have to look that up. He's the owner of the Hornets, but how often is he involved in the day-to-day operation of the organization? I don't think at all.
Well, it's supposed to be Mitch Kupchak, but he had some pretty good GMs throughout his history, but he had a tendency to override his general managers, and which led to, of course, failure for the Charlotte Hornets. But the Kemba Walker situation was such disastrous. Kemba told the organization that he wouldn't even sign the max, which was $200 million, that he would settle for $160, $170. Reports came out that they offered him $160. I found out it wasn't even $160. They offered him $140. Lowballed him. That's why he went to Boston for $160.
Yeah, but could they have afforded it?
Yes. They could have made some moves. They had more than enough. The NBA salary cap is structured so you can re-sign your star player. But with him taking that discount, that would have allowed you to still build around the team. But they decided they wanted to go younger, and they didn't believe Kemba Walker was worth that much money. Maybe they were looking at it like, hey, we had Kemba all of last year, and we still didn't make the playoffs. I like Terry Rozier. He's not Kemba Walker. Terry Rozier disappeared a lot of times last year in Boston.
Is Kemba the difference between Boston getting to the top of the division?
I think
of the Eastern Conference.
Kemba separates from Kyrie mentally. He's not going to come in the locker room and cause a problem. He's actually a leader. Kyrie wanted to be a leader, but just couldn't take it that far. That's not in his mental makeup. He's not built like that. Kemba's, I think he's going to fit in perfectly. Him and Brad Stevens kind of seem to be on the same type of wave. And now, especially with Horford leaving, you can build around your younger players. Tatum and Brown should have more access. Hayward gets to go into the four. I love what Boston did.
Yeah, the Hornets have got to stop spending money on Kaminsky's and start doing better with draft picks, identifying free agents. Because, look, without a veteran roster in the NBA and superstar power, I mean, you've got to go out there and at a minimum, you've got to have two Supermax All-Stars with a Klay Thompson-esque type player at that third. And then a couple of role players, because if you don't, they're not old enough, and Boston proved that. This is ESPN. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.
Yeah, Charlotte is in a world of trouble. Nobody wants to come there.
Jordan does good. That's good producing right there. He owns 90%.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back into this July 5th, post-July 4th edition of Straight Up with Sturge. I am Josh Phillips along with Tyler Butler of the BS Podcast. Josh over there on the board. As we get along, man, it's hard to believe we've only got, two more segments? Is that right? Two more segments left in the show. Thing is absolutely flying by. What did you do for July 4th yesterday?
Believe it or not, we didn't do anything.
You didn't shoot fireworks,
no.
Nothing?
I could see downtown fireworks out my house, so we just went on the porch and watched the show. But no cookouts or nothing. We was kind of lazy yesterday.
Just no
relax.
Burgers, no
we just relax,
hot dogs,
man.
Nothing.
Ordered pizza. Watched the show.
Chilled out. You know, that's what I should have done. Because it was hot.
We're always on the go, man. And, you know, I've been doing so much trying to follow this NBA free agency. It was a good day to just chill. So I took full advantage of it. I'm telling you, we didn't move. Showered, laid right back down and relaxed.
Yeah, we didn't relax at the pool until later in the afternoon, and by then it was just massively hot. But
Yeah, I told the kids we're taking the Six Flags tomorrow, so.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, they're saving all their energy for tomorrow.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. Women's World Cup. The United States faces the Netherlands Sunday.
Let's bring it home.
Recent poll I just saw is that the United States is a 70% favorite to win it. So the ladies are flat getting it done. And, I mean, I like the makeup of this team. I mean, those girls are fast. You know, that England match, for me, got a little hairy early on because they never cut off the ball from getting into the middle. You know, soccer's kind of like hockey on grass. You better keep the ball out of the middle of the field because if you don't, somebody's going to shoot one in past your goalie, and that's exactly what happened early on. But then our ladies were able to take control in that English match and then get on to the World Cup. You know, I got a question. Why is it that the men can't compete?
Ooh, I don't know. I really don't know.
I mean, that's
– some people used to think like it was a cultural thing, but soccer is becoming so big in the U.S. now.
Well, I mean, soccer – I mean, when you look at the fact – Atlanta's got an MLS soccer.
And sold out every day.
Every – they sell out
– it is crazy down
the Mercedes
– Atlanta, yeah, the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Yeah, stadium. They sell that thing out like crazy.
Probably more than the Falcons.
And that's – it seems some of our better athletes are starting to gravitate more towards soccer, but you would think that a country as large as ours – would have enough athletes to put a to field a men's team that could be. I'm not saying win it, but at least get to the darn thing once in a while. Now, I understand countries like Brazil, Italy, Portugal, Germany.
Well, maybe it has to do with just internationally itself. If you think about women, unfortunately, a lot of women internationally don't have a lot of freedom as they do in the United States to actually train all year round for a certain sport. So our women tend to dominate in the majority of these sports.
That's a great point.
And within men, you know, that's all they play over there. They're not really playing football and basketball, and soccer is so much more major. So they have the better athletes overseas than they do within the United States. And I think that's why our women are a little bit more dominant than the men are.
Well, obviously, we wish the women all the best. Not that I think that they need it, because it seems, I mean, they're basically a shoo-in to beat the Netherlands. And I would venture to say that the Netherlands would be, I would think England was more of a match for the American women than the Netherlands will be. But, you know, we'll see. Upsets happen. But we wish the women. I'll be wearing the red, white, and blue and pulling for them to represent our country and to hear the stars and stripe after they win. So that's Sunday, the final of the Women's World Cup, as the American women take on the Netherlands. South Carolina, TB, have you had a chance to look at the Gamecocks? And, you know, their schedule is obviously the most difficult in the country. It's number one across basically every sports publication that has started to come out. A lot of people would say that if the Gamecocks went 7-5 this year, it would be a vast improvement over last year's 7-5 because of the strength of the schedule, where you're playing Texas A&M, Clemson, Georgia, Alabama. And let's not forget, hadn't beaten Kentucky in 5 years.
Yeah, it's true. Florida's gotten better, too.
And the Gators. Yeah, the Gators. It looks like Dan Mullen is doing exactly what I thought he would do down in Gainesville. Although I'm not sold on Fleet Franks. I think he's the best option for Dan Mullen right now.
Yeah.
But that they should have a better athlete at that position, because look, Dan Mullen likes athletes at that quarterback position.
Yeah, Felipe came on a little strong towards the end of the season.
Yep, he did. But you got to give Mullen credit. He tweaked his offense to fit what Franks can do, and that's throw the vertical passing game. He's not a runner. He's not like Nick Fitzgerald. They didn't run the same, or Tim Tebow or Cam Newton, who he both coached. So they were able to tweak that offense, get the Gators but to 10 wins. And then I love the fact that they shellacked Michigan. I'm so tired of dealing with Michigan. I mean, every year these publications come out, Michigan's in the top five, Michigan's in the top three. They go 9-4, 10-2, 9-3, somewhere around in that, and then they get shellacked by Ohio State at the end of the year. So much so, did you see what Urban Meyer did?
I didn't.
Now that he's retired, he opened up a restaurant bar in Columbus, and it's called the 7-0 Club.
Wow. Ultimate troll.
I mean, imagine open a restaurant called the 7-0 Club, taking a shot.
Wow.
As his tenure at Ohio State being 7-0. And I mean, how much longer will Michigan put up with Harbaugh doing that?
Yeah, I'm surprised he haven't actually jumped back to the league yet.
You know, it's funny. What does that tell you about the guy that hasn't happened? See, I don't think that situation when he left San Francisco was a train wreck. And I think the word has gotten out that you can't deal with that guy. And owners and GMs do not want to deal with head coaches. Because look, and this is what's fascinating about the NFL. You know, Dabo Sweeney, Kirby Smart, Nick Saban, they've got better jobs than two-thirds of the NFL because they run their program. They don't have to deal with a general manager. They don't have to deal with an owner. They don't have to deal with a scouting department. They have complete autonomy to run their program the way they see it.
Agents.
Exactly. If a player doesn't give effort or wants to sit out because of a hangnail, no big deal. They don't have to deal with any of that.
Yeah, they have the ultimate power in college. That's why a lot of people would kept leaking Saban back to the NFL. I was like, why would he leave?
No, that would be crazy.
He had the best job on earth, man. He has all the power. He's winning. Pretty much can do whatever you want to within Alabama, if not that whole region. Why would you leave that?
Never.
Yeah.
I mean, you're making millions of dollars.
Millions. You're on a NFL coaching salary anyway.
And you don't have to put up with any of that bureaucracy.
Yeah, well, less of a headache. Don't have to answer to an owner like a Jerry Jones or someone else that may want to run the entire organization instead of sit within the owner's box. I wouldn't leave college football. If I'm running a top program, just my opinion, but that wouldn't make any sense to me.
Well, we're going to get into South Carolina and what Will Muschamp is doing, because it seems like every week he continues to turn over this roster with better talent than what he's had. He's almost rebuilt the entire front seven. We'll take a look at that, because when you start to look at the biggest difference Dabo Sweeney made is the offensive and defensive lines at Clemson are the best in the country. This is Straight Up with Sturge.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate. I am Josh Phillips sitting in for Mark Sturgis, who is on vacation. Along for the ride has been Tyler Butler of the BS Podcast, Josh over there producing. As we take a look at South Carolina and some of the recent commits that the Gamecocks have had, and this has been, you know, the month of June was an outstanding month of recruiting for the Gamecocks. They were able to get the commitment from Alex Huntley out of the Hammond School in Columbia, a 6'4", 285-pound defensive lineman, rated as a four-star, number three player in the state of South Carolina. That was a big-time commit for the Gamecocks. At the beginning of the month, they were able to get Marshawn Lloyd at a position of need that they desperately needed, that I felt was the missing piece for the Gamecocks, was that elite running back. They received that from the number six rated running back in the country out of Dematha Catholic in Maryland, Marshawn Lloyd. And then over the last week and a half, Will Muschamp and his staff have gotten the commitment from Dominic Hill, a 6'1½", 180-pound corner. That is a big corner. I mean, when you're trotting out corners out there almost 6'2", 180 pounds, you're doing something right. The next one was on July the 2nd, Joey Hunter out of Sandy Creek, Tyrone, Georgia. Another big corner, 6'1", 180-pound player for them. And one thing, even though they're both rated three stars, what I try to do is take a look at, and then, of course, they got Vershawn Lee out of Freedom, Woodbridge, Virginia, who was an offensive guard, 6'3", 300-pounder. That's another telltale sign, is that the Gamecocks are extending their footprint into that Tidewater, Virginia area and into Maryland, where they got Marshawn Lloyd. And that area has been a hotbed of some of the most contested recruiting in the country. They produce a lot of NFL talent out of that Tidewater area. But people say, oh, well, Phillips, it's not that big of a deal. They're only three-star kids. Well, what I try to do is look at, well, who are the other programs that recruited them? Because, honestly, recruiting services, they do a pretty good job, but basically they don't do their own analysis. That they base the stars off of who's offered who. Because you watch, you'll see a kid that is a no-star, all of a sudden Alabama recruits them or offers them, now they jump up to a four-star. Well, why didn't you say that from the beginning? It's because they wanted that affirmation from the coaches to make sure that what they saw was right. So when you look at the teams, let's start with Joey Hunter, big 6'2" kid. He was offered by Louisville, Maryland, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, West Virginia. So that tells me that they're getting a really good football player. When you look at the other teams, that Colorado, I believe Mel Tucker understands what a good-looking defensive back is from his days as a defensive coordinator at Georgia. So if you're a Gamecock fan, you've got to feel really good about Joey Hunter out of Sandy Creek, Georgia, who committed on, let's see here, he committed on June the 21st, so that was about a week and a half ago. The next kid, Dominic Hill out of Orlando, Florida, Another big corner, 6'1 and a half, 180 pounds. He committed on June the 20th. Let's take a look. Dominic had the likes of, and now this has got to make you really feel good if you're a South Carolina fan. He chose South Carolina over the likes of Alabama, Auburn, Florida, Louisville, Miami. Let's see here. Virginia Tech. So right off the bat, Dominic Hill chose South Carolina over Alabama. I think they're a pretty good program. Auburn, they're a pretty good program. Florida, Florida's done pretty well. I think that Florida started to call themselves DBU, right? Well, he told the Gators, no thanks, I'm going to Carolina. Louisville's turned out some outstanding defensive backs. Mack Brown at North Carolina, no thanks. Mack Brown, remember a guy named Dre Bly? I think Mack Brown recruited that guy. He was a perennial All-Pro. So you've got to feel good if you're South Carolina that you are going head-to-head with the top five programs in the country and you're beating them. You're getting your fair share. And that's what you're looking for. You're not going to get every one of them, but you want to win your fair share, and the Gamecocks have done that. Throughout this recruiting season, when you look at Vershawn Lee, offensive guard out of Freedom High School out of Woodbridge, Virginia, and you look at the other teams that have recruited him, a lot of people may not like the fact Boston College, but Boston College perennially turns in some of the best offensive lines in all of college football. Tennessee, Virginia Tech, West Virginia. So, see, you're in the mix and you're beating teams on kids that see the same things that you're seeing, even though they may not have the star rating.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you about one kid that committed last year, Luke Dottie. Now, from a quarterback, and they say he's a dual
quarterback threat. Out of Myrtle Beach.
Yeah,
yep.
Exactly. But I'm looking at some of the schools that recruited him and some of the quarterbacks that they produced, especially the system. He was recruited by Auburn, Baylor, Duke. We know what Duke is trying to produce over there. And plus, if you're not sure, head coach is one of the quarterback coaches for Peyton Manning, worked on his mechanics. North Carolina, Virginia Tech, Miami. So what do you think about that kid coming out as a dual threat?
I like him a lot. I saw him in the state championship game. He was a man among boys. Greer played them. Down at Williams-Brice, and Greer had some really, really good defensive players, and they could not stop that kid. And now Myrtle Beach does something that's a little bit different. You've heard of the shotgun. Well, they line him up in the extra shotgun because he's like at 8 yards behind the center, which is a little unique. But what it does is it gives him – extra time to look at the coverage. And then if it's not there, this is a big, thick kid. And I hate putting this type of pressure on him, but he's sort of a poor man's Tim Tebow. He's, and let me quantify that. He's not Tim Tebow. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is he's kind of like that type of quarterback.
Yeah, because ESPN have him, like, position-wise, quarterback slash defensive tackle.
Yeah, that's wrong. Yeah, that's
he's not that
that's wrong. He is
89.
He's ultra-competitive. I could see potentially the Gamecocks possibly moving him to a slot-type receiver because, look, that quarterback room down in Columbia is getting crowded. I mean, Jake Bentley's getting ready to be a senior. Tyler Helinski, the five-star quarterback out of California, is a redshirt freshman going into his redshirt freshman year. Going into his freshman year. He enrolled this January, and he's a solid number two. And I would not be surprised if Helinski won that job. Now, people would say, Josh, my goodness, Jake Bentley's threatening to throw for 10,000 yards. In his career, how the heck Helinski's that good, in my opinion. So, and Carolina's on some really good 2021, 2022 quarterbacks. So, you know, look, I like the Doty kid. It gives them a different type of player that when it's third and two, you could put Doty in there and run the quarterback read, and he's going to get 3 yards because he's low to the ground. He's not overly tall. He's 6'1 and a half, 6'2. He's real powerfully built, especially in his lower body. He almost reminds me of a big tailback.
Yeah.
And he's got that type of leg drive. So he's a really good player. The question that I have for the Gamecocks is, what are you going to do with DeCarrion Joyner? That kid has got to get on the field. And right now, the Gamecocks have got some outstanding wide receivers, headlined by Brian Edwards, who's coming back, or Trey Smith, who was injured all of last year. He's coming back. That offensive line lost some pieces, but I love the pieces that they have. Sedarius Hutcherson, who I've been talking about since they got him out of JUCO, is a first-round draft pick waiting to happen. That kid's got feet like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask, because it seemed like their main issue, especially two seasons ago, was the offensive line.
Yes.
Have you think Muschamp has he been able to address that need yet?
Yes, they're a lot deeper. They're older. He redshirted a class 2 years ago that I thought there were some project kids in there that have now grown up. They're redshirt sophomores that have spent the last 2 years in the weight room with Jeff Delman, who is one of the outstanding strength and conditioning coaches. You know, that's another thing that this state has to be proud of. When you look across strength and conditioning, obviously, Joey Batson is as good as they come, and so is Jeff Delman. He has done an outstanding job of rebuilding these bodies and taking these kids, because at South Carolina, you're going to get your fair share of four-star kids, but they're going to be like three or four. So you've got to be able to take these two- and three-star kids and develop them within your program so that by the time that they're a redshirt sophomore, redshirt junior, they're able to get out there and compete in the SEC. And I think that's what we're starting to see, is that Muschamp's program is starting to grow up and blossom. And I really like what he's done on the offensive side. We'll take a look at the defense when we come back. This is Straight Up with Sturge. Welcome back into the final segment. Wow, has this been a fast show or what? The fastest in sports radio. We are finally in the final segment of the show. If you want to call in, better get in quick. Been some outstanding discussion on the text line. Let me get to these so far. Greenville Drive game starts in 30 minutes. Fireworks afterwards. Y'all come on down. Absolutely. Get down there and support.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Our professional baseball team here in Greenville. Another texter gets in with us. Glad they didn't sign Kemba. He deserves a better organization. Talking about Kemba Walker. Leaving the Hornets to go to the Boston Celtics. Another texter gets in with us. South Carolina is having a very good year recruiting, but minus a catastrophe, the talent gap with rival Clemson has widened. Hey, look, you got to be careful with that stuff because you never know how these kids are going to turn out. There was no way that Syracuse, Pittsburgh was supposed to be on the field with Clemson, and they've given them all they could handle. I mean, Syracuse, in all actuality, should have beat Clemson last year. It was a 23-20 ball game. So you got to be careful on, because you still got to get out there and produce, and you've got to do it the right way. But you got to like, if you're a Gamecock fan, look, what Clemson is doing is historic. There is no question the level of players that they are bringing in, and I've made this point before, I think the defensive line that Clemson has coming with Xavier Thomas and Breesy and some of those other guys is going to be better than what the defensive line we just saw with Bryant and Farrell and those guys. I believe that. I think they're going to be more athletic. They're going to be stronger. They're going to be able to run. I mean, they are going to be an outstanding defensive front. That being said, looking at the Gamecocks depth chart coming out of spring practice, and I'm probably going to butcher this kid's name, starting at defense at one of the defensive ends is Kingsley Enagbare. Now, this kid, I remember watching him. He's out of Georgia. He is a big, long kid. He's like 6'4", 6'5", got tremendous length, and he can really run. But see, he was one of those three-star, four-star type kids that got some big offers late that bumped him up that has now been in the program for a couple of years, redshirted. He had to play a little bit because of the lack of depth on that defensive line. And then now he's ready to play, and he can flat get after it. The guys backing him up, Joseph Anderson, who is a freshman, who I think is going to be an outstanding player. But again, he's got to be in the system, and he's got to be in that weight room. At defensive tackle, Javon Kinlaw, who I think has done an outstanding job of really redeveloping his body. When they first got him out of JUCO, he was too heavy. He was carrying too much what coaches call baby fat, so he could only play one or two plays, then come out. Now, he's a heck of a run stuffer, and he's made some plays, but now if you want to call a svelte 320, and the kid can move. He's got an SEC body on the inside. Kobe Smith, Kier Thomas, who is as explosive a player as they had. See, Kier Thomas came out of Miami, and had he been 2 inches taller, he probably would have had his pick. But the kid's about 5'10", 5'11". But his explosiveness is unbelievable. Rick Sandage, who I absolutely love. And then, of course, you've got the kids that are coming in, like Zach Pickens. Zach Pickens is going to start on this defensive line somewhere. He's a five-tool defensive lineman, which means he can play all five positions along the defensive line. And he's the five-star kid that the Gamecocks got out of T.L. Hanna. When you look over, D.J. Wonnum and Brad Johnson from Pendleton High School, down the road, another kid that redshirted, got in the weight room, D.J. Wonnum, who battled injuries, led the SEC in sacks, tackles for a loss a couple of years ago. They've switched him to what they call their buck outside linebacker, which is basically their fourth rusher in an odd front. And that's something that guy's got to be a bigger – he's a Teddy Bruschi. And let me say this, our thoughts and prayers are with Teddy Bruschi. I didn't realize till we got in here that he suffered a stroke.
Yeah, definitely thoughts and prayers.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I believe he's doing well. He's recovering well. Obviously, he got medical treatment, and he's stable. When you start talking about the brain and strokes, man, that stuff gets hairy in a heartbeat. But then when you look at some of the defensive linemen that Muschamp and his staff have recruited, you talk about Alex Huntley from the Hammond School, who's going to be an outstanding player. And then the crowning of the cake is going to be Adrian Burch, if the Gamecocks can land him. And he's the number one player in the state, number one player in the country, defensive lineman there at the Hammond School. And look, we had J.C. Sherbert on the show, and he said and cautioned Gamecock fans, look, just because he played with Huntley doesn't mean he's automatically going to go to the Gamecocks. And right now, according to a lot of people that are next to the kid, it's pretty much a 50-50 split. And it's going to come down to the last day of where this young man falls. But when you look at South Carolina's roster, you know, the Gamecocks were so thin along that defensive line. And defensive linemen like offensive linemen, I mean, you can get on a Jadeveon Clowney or a Matthews, But pretty much you got to let those guys grow because do you feel good about trotting a freshman out there against Georgia's offensive line? You know, that have got redshirt seniors, redshirt juniors.
Yeah, don't throw them into that line of fire.
I mean, that's – I was at Georgia. And let me tell you now, that offensive line, if Georgia doesn't have the best offensive line in college football, I want to see who is. Because if that offensive line isn't the best, then whoever's better than them has got to be playing on Sunday.
Yeah, they're producing first-rounders.
I mean, they've got a left tackle. I mean, we were out on the practice field, and it was a bright, sunny day, and all of a sudden, it got cloudy. And everybody's looking around like, where'd that cloud come from? And it was this big number 79. He's like 6'8", 340 pounds, with like a 36-inch waist. I mean, this dude was massive.
But I want to get in real quickly, just for Greenville. I know you guys, it's NBA related, but I want you to support your own. Tonight we're going to have two people on the court from Greenville County.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought this up.
Juwan Evans, who played for the Oklahoma City Thunder, and Nicholas Claxton, who was the first pick of the second round for the Brooklyn Nets. You will be able to see both this weekend, NBA TV or ESPN. Support your own. That is awesome. Both players played for Legacy Early College, which is right here in Greenville County. So, to me, that's awesome. I'm glad to see we got some local talent in the NBA that we can actually see.
Absolutely. And Zion's taking on his teammate, R.J. Barrett.
Yep, you got Zion tonight in the Summer League. Right down the street, he plays tonight.
Absolutely.
Won't see Ja Morant, who was also from South Carolina. They have ruled him out for the summer, but that's three local products that we get to see in the 864 this weekend on the biggest stage. So that's awesome, and kudos to you guys.
Absolutely. As we finish up here with the Gamecocks, especially on defense, of course, you've got the stalwart in there at middle linebacker, T.J. Brunson. If he can avoid injury, he's going to have a chance. And what I mean by chance is he's going to have a chance to possibly play on Sunday. There's a kid now. They've got Ernest Jones listed behind him, but I want you Gamecock fans to remember this name, Derek Boykins. Derek Boykins reminds me a lot of a guy named Jasper Brinkley.
Ooh.
And you older Gamecock fans will know that name.
Beast.
Jasper played many a Sunday in the NFL after his time in Columbia. Remember that name, Derek Boykins. I really, really am excited about that kid. He was a freshman last year. He's super big, fast. He's what you want in an SEC linebacker. On the back end or on the opposite side at linebacker, you've got Sherrod Green, who's going to be just fine. Donnell Fennell. At the other side, Rescindo Lewis, who should fight for playing time. And then that back end, you know, with the additions that Muschamp has added, J.C. Horn and Israel Mukaamu, who's a big corner. Mukaamu is 6'4". With these corners that are coming in, he could be a big-time safety back there at free or strong. So the Gamecocks doing a great job, not only of adding good talent, but now they're building it from a depth standpoint. And when you get to that point, now you've got a chance to get into that upper echelon, and they're going to need it with the toughest schedule. Let me thank Josh on the board, Tyler Butler from the BS Podcast. I will see y'all after football season because I've got to go coach. Thank you to all out there. This has been Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.